Hazards near, but Jim is here. Clearing storms, making it clear. Safety's more than just a gear. It's our anthem, loud and sincere. Tune in to Seer. Tune in, storms, making it clear. Safety's more than just a gear. It's our anthem, loud and sincere.
Hi, this is Jim from Safety Wars. Before we start the program, I want to make sure everyone understands that we often talk about OSHA and EPA citations, along with some other regulatory actions from other agencies, legal cases, and criminal activity. Everyone is innocent until proven guilty in a court of law. Proposed fines are exactly that, and they are often litigated, reduced, or vacated. We use available public records, news accounts, and press releases. We cannot warranty or guarantee the details of any of the stories we share, since we are not directly involved with these stories, at least not most of the time. Enjoy the show.
This show is brought to you by Safety FM.
And from the border of liberty and prosperity in the highway to the north, this is Safety Wars for Wednesday, April 23rd, 2025. And we're still down south. No, I don't know what to tell you. We're here. A lot going on out there. Again, I'm going to recommend Jay Allen's book. Alright? Absolutely, go and get Jay Allen's book. What is the name of that book? Here, let's put it up on the screen. Safety, in my opinion. Available on Amazon.com. And yeah, let's see, share screen here. Okay, maybe not doing share screen. Here we go. Safety, in my opinion. Consciousness. Construct of the reality of risk. It's in a trilogy. First book in a trilogy. Safety, in my opinion, by Jay Allen. Go out and get it on Amazon. It's also available on Kindle, and there are audio formats also. Okay, what else? What do we got? What do we got? We got a lot. So you really have to go and we have to search for a lot of these stories because the Department of Labor is not, is not really putting out a lot of press releases there, just the way it is. So we work with what we got to work with, and we're okay with that. We're just going to go right to, what's my commentary? My commentary is to keep focused, right? That's what the whole thing is. Tomorrow is Workers' Memorial Day. They're celebrating on the 24th, not the 28th, which is usually Workers' Memorial Day. It is what it is. It is what it is, folks. So let's verify. We got everything going here. Okay. This is from today. Secretary Chavez de Ramer praises President Donald Trump's executive order aimed at expanding apprenticeships. Modernizing Workforce Development. U.S. Department of Labor, Secretary Lori Chavez-DeRemer this evening attended the signing of President Trump's executive order preparing Americans for high-paying skilled trade jobs in the future. The directive calls on the U.S. Department of Labor, Department of Commerce, and Department of Education to unlock the limitless power or potential of the American worker by working towards strengthening registered apprenticeships, modernizing workforce development programs, and investing in opportunities to upskill workers to meet the current labor market. This decisive action, hey, someone should have a company like that was the name of my first company, but is yet another example of President Trump keeping his promise to American workers, empowering them to fill good-paying, in-demand jobs that will secure our economic comeback, Secretary Chavez-DeRemer said. Under President Trump's leadership, we are renewing the American dream by revitalizing and reshaping our workforce into a highly skilled, powerhouse of potential. I look forward to working with my colleagues to implement this executive order and usher in a new golden age of prosperity for all hardworking Americans. The president's executive order puts American workers first by requiring the three departments to review all federal workforce development programs to identify opportunities to modernize current requirements, invest in upskilling workers, develop educational pathways beyond a four-year degree, and reduce burdensome reporting requirements. Draft a plan to reach 1 million active apprentices by expanding access for in-demand occupations, providing consistent support, and improving connections between the education system and apprenticeships, and increase transparency and accountability in the workforce development programs by collecting relevant data. Learn more about the executive order here. And boom, boom, boom. Decades, right? Providing return. So here we go. Overhauling federal workforce training. And for three bullet items, right? Modernize. The second bullet item, streamline and integrated reorient federal workplace programs to prepare the American economy for opportunities presented by reshoring and reindustrialization. I tell you what, if all this stuff works, reindustrialization, that's going to be a good thing. I'm just not fully convinced it'll work, but it's better than stagnating, I guess. And plus, if we don't do, we'll never know if it works. Comprehensive workforce strategy will further America's global economic leadership and domination of key sectors by, among other things, capitalizing on the AI revolution. It's going to be providing return on workforce and investment after years of shuffling Americans through an economically unproductive post-secondary system. President Trump will focus young Americans on career preparation. So, no, college for all ain't going to be there. You can check out the whole executive order here. Again, I'm not a mouthpiece for the president. I'm just reading press releases from the Department of Labor, right, which is what we do here. So, U.S. Department of Labor honors fallen workers with National Workers Memorial Day program on April 24th. Today, work-related injuries in the U.S. claim about 15 people's lives a day. In 2023, a reported 5,283 workers suffered fatal injuries. So, So there are some Workers Memorial Days. I know some of the organizations I work with are going to be there. So, you click here. So, for example, in Middlesex County, my home county, they're having an event on Monday, April 28th. According to the website, don't quote me on this, New Jersey Worker Memorial Day service on May Day, May 1st, right? Which is it's a socialist holiday. Not surprising, coming in New Jersey. So, Philipash, Philip Area Project on Occupational Safety and Health, will be hosting an event also on Friday, April 25th. So, go and, right? Go and find an event near you. If not, hold your own event here with this. Now, it's an important thing. So, executive order, we got that. All right, so we're going to close that out. Over to the EPA. April 23rd, 2025, that's today. Middletown, New York. From Middletown, New York, the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency Regional Administrator Michael Martucci traveled to Middletown, New York to have some fun this Earth Day with children at the On My Way Early Learning and Child Care Center. During his visit, he viewed an art exhibit about watersheds, talked about how he teaches his own children to care for the earth, and spoke to educators about the importance of instilling an environmental ethic in their students. These kids are amazing, and they represent all our futures. I'm grateful to the On My Way Early Learning and Child Care Center for inviting me to stop by and remember why we protect the earth in the first place, for our kids, he said, EPA Region 2 Administrator Michael Martucci. This year for Earth Day, students collaborated to create a watershed art installation made entirely of recycled materials. Right, this Earth Day and every day, EPA focuses on fulfilling its mission of protecting human health and the environment for the next generation. With that, and right, they're doing pretty good with that. Here we have some enforcement news from the EPA's companies and president. Companies and president offering Oregon wood treatment facilities pay $1.5 million in criminal fines for hazardous waste and pollution charges. A federal judge in Oregon today sentenced the two companies responsible for the operation of the J.H. Baxter Wood Treatment Facility in Eugene, Oregon, and their president for Hazardous Waste and Clean Air Act violations. So, what were the... On more than 100... different days, and the company knowingly and illegally boiled off hazardous waste, emitting the discharge into the air. Then they followed up with false statements. Not good, not good, not good with that. And remember, everyone is innocent until proven guilty in a court of law. EPA Administrator Lee Zeldin holds press conference. This guy gets a little around, man. On Tijuana River sewage crisis in San Diego. Yesterday, on Earth Day, the U.S. EPA Administrator Lee Zeldin held a press conference in San Diego, California, with elected officials and local stakeholders on the Tijuana River sewage crisis. For decades, Mexico has allowed untreated sewage from contaminated stormwater to discharge into the United States, which has resulted in severe public health, environmental, and national security consequences, particularly in the San Diego border region. Prior to the conference, press conference, Zeldin toured the South Bay International Wastewater Treatment Plant, which sits on the American-Mexican border, and attended a roundtable with local, state, and federal elected officials to discuss the impacts the crisis has had on the community. At the press conference, Administrator Zeldin updated the public on his Monday evening meeting with his Mexican counterpart, Secretary Alicia Barcena, discussing necessary steps to end the crisis. Let's see if we can do this. It seems to be cooperating today. So this is his address. Let's see. Watch the full press conference.
Well, happy Earth Day. There's nowhere more important for all of us to be than right here. The issues that have been facing residents in this area for decades are issues of frustration, despair, disappointment, certainly motivation as well. To take a crisis that has lingered for too long and finally bring it to a long overdue resolution. This visit for EPA is very important for us to make sure that we aren't just seeing and hearing firsthand on the ground in Southern California, but ensuring that the path forward is one of max collaboration and extreme urgency to end a crisis that should have ended a long time ago. It's a beautiful day where people should be able to spend an Earth Day not worrying about foul smells in the air, Tijuana Valley degradation, public health, beach closures, and so much more. But that's the reality that Americans in Southern California have had to live through for way too long. And they want action, and they're right. Their voice is certainly being heard loud and clear today with all of you being here to tell their story. And we thank all of those members of the media who are here to tell that story of these Southern California families who have dealt with this for too long. So last night I had a meeting at the consulate in San Diego. It was led by the Mexican Environmental Secretary. The Consul General was there. The Mexican Commissioner to the IWBC was present, and other members of the Mexican delegation. The meeting lasted a little over 90 minutes. Started with a presentation by Mexico of their understanding of all of their work, providing updates on what they believe they need to do to help resolve this issue. It was clear in the way that the Mexican Environmental Secretary approached every aspect of this meeting yesterday.
Have some noise.
It was clear with the pollution. Way that the Mexican Environmental Secretary approached the conversation yesterday evening, that she wants to have a strong collaborative relationship, and she would often speak on behalf of the Mexican president about how the new Mexican president wants to have a close collaboration with the United States and the U.S. president to finally resolve this issue. And I welcome that collaboration.
Yeah, so, I mean, the guy gets around, I'll say that much. Goes all over the place. We're going to go to commercial break, and we'll pick it up afterwards.
Safety Wars is streaming now. SafetyFM.com.
It's rolling in. Safety first, let's start the spin. Protect your hands, your eyes, your grip. Oceans heal, let's all begin. Fireworks, they light the sky. Safety glows within our eyes. Goggles, gloves, a wise disguise. Keep those limbs low, no goodbyes. So drop the ball, not the guard. Our rules may seem so hard, but they're here to keep us smart. Safe and sound in every part.
In the professional safety community, communication and planning are just a few keys to your program's success. The question many practitioners have is, where do I start? Dr. Jay Allen, the creator of the Safety FM platform and host of the Rated R Safety Show, has built a global foundation to help you along the way. Go to safetyfm.com and listen to some of the industry's best and most involved professionals, including Blaine Hoffman with the Safety Pro, Sam Goodman with the Hop Nerd, Sheldon Primus with the Safety Consultant, Jim Pozell with Safety Wars, Emily Elrod with Unapologetically Bold, and many others. As individuals, we can do great things, but as a team, we become amazing. Dial into safetyfm.com today and surround yourself with a powerful force of knowledge and support.
OSHA recordables, catastrophic losses, environmental disasters. You want answers? So do I. This is Jim Polzel with Safety Wars.
That's my daddy.
Yes, Jessica, I am your father. Anyway, hear about this one. Creepy clown pass haunts mayoral candidate. This is from Tim Vidal. A British royal mayoral candidate hopes that voters can overlook. This is from Coast to Coast, right? They're our friends here. British mayoral candidate hopes that voters can overlook an unfortunate past incident wherein he was busted terrifying people while dressed as a creepy clown. Running for office in the city of Doncaster, Richie Valence reportedly expressed regret over his brief stint as a haunting harlequin. Nearly a decade ago, the misguided moment occurred in April of 2016 when Valence was roaming the streets in a clown mask and stumbled upon a pair of hospital workers who were understandably deeply unnerved by the encounter. Looking back on the incident, which led to Valence being convicted of causing a public distress and banned from dressing as a clown, a lot of people would call politicians clowns, right? The mayoral candidate mused, "I am not proud of it, but I have changed a lot since then. As for what motivated his odd behavior back in 2016, he claimed that the costume was a form of protest against gangs that had been bullying him. I wasn't meant to be out scaring anybody," he said. "I put on a mask to hide from the abuse and slander I was getting. Time will tell whether or not voters will be reasoning for the strange incident." This reminds me, right, of way back in the day, I was on a project in a urban area, famous urban center in Hoboken. And this was the Grand Street Mercury cleanup, General Electric cleanup. And the argument was, we cannot have white tie vec suits running around. We're going to freak people out. So let's go and get gray suits. And that's what we did. We got, and you can get them. You can get tie vec in any color you want. So, again, we got gray tie vec and not to freak people out there. I don't know. People still had a lot of questions. We'll leave it to you that way. Let's go into here. So what about the stocks here? Right. So now it's 39. The stocks are holding at 39,606.57. That's the Dow Jones Industrial. But, I mean, it's up, down, up, down, up, down, up, down. Right? Feels like we're getting a workout here with this. So, it's just one of those things. It seems like the new normal. That's how they did S&P 500 at 5,375. Let's see some of the other ones. I mean, gold has made a rally. We're talking, right, 33,2250. Bitcoin at 93,000. Crude oil down to 62,24. Tell you what, things are, are exciting, but this is not the kind of excitement Americans like. Again, if you're going to be freaked out, maybe stocks ain't your thing. With that, other news. Trump has blamed Zelensky as Ukraine peace talks stumble. After Ukraine's president criticized Trump's proposed peace plan, U.S. officials again threatened to walk away from negotiations. Some trivia here. Family in my town runs a charity. They are Ukrainian. The wife is Ukrainian. From Ukraine, came over as a child. She's running a charity. And yet we hear about the 5,000 people a day that are dying over there on average, give or take. But she pointed out with limbs, she runs a charity that assists people in getting artificial limbs. There's like 1,000 people a week over there getting artificial limbs, mostly legs, sometimes arms, amputated or blown off. Pretty sad situation there with that. So we didn't go into this yesterday, but the high stakes in choosing the next pope, my condolences out to all of the Catholic listeners and viewers out there. Right, mystery and drama always surround the conclave, but the deeper issue is the mission of the Catholic Church in the modern world. Pope Francis's body lies in state as thousands mourn. He's adorned in a simple outfit. I'm describing this, and what has been described as a simple coffin. He wants to be remembered as a simple thing. He's not even he didn't even want a big funeral. To say the thing is toned down as a pastor is how it's being described, not a pope. So it's, it pays to be humble. I think that's the lesson here. It pays to be humble in doing these things. Right, inside the enormous Renaissance era basilica, Francis' open wooden casket was placed on a shin-high platform by the altar rather than up higher and in grander form. Right, a custom Francis has scrapped. American Cardinal Kevin Farrell, not the comedian, then led a prayer. That would be interesting. Kevin Farrell, right? Look at that. Cardinal Farrell, the Vatican's Camerlengo or Chamberlain, is in charge of the Vatican's day-to-day affairs until a new pope is elected and a conclave expected in early May. I have a little bit of insight into this vicariously. One of our supporters on the show was a secretary for a cardinal. He was he's a Catholic priest and a really damn good one too. The information that he gave me the last time this happened back in 2013 was that all this is confidential. It's like you're excommunicated from the church, from the Catholic Church, if you are a cardinal voting here and you disclose any of the deliberations. So they're predicting maybe a new pope from Asia, one from Africa, but there's been a lot of murmurings from some of the Catholic organizations I listen to and on social media that the Catholic Church may want to return to Italy because there has not been getting a pope from Italy because we had Pope John Paul II, Carol Wojtyla, and I got a funny story for you, in Poland with that. Then after him, Cardinal Ratzinger, right, or Pope Benedict, and now we had Pope Francis, who is ethnically from Italy, but he's actually from Argentina, I think it is. So my aunt, right, is a Felician nun in Lodi, New Jersey. That's L-O-D-I, New Jersey. And a number of years ago, they had a flood in their basement. So a little bit of history on the Felician College on Main Street in Lodi. That is where the Native Americans had their summer camp, believe it or not. That's where they came down from wherever they were staying, and that they went to that area. There's a stream that runs right through the property. And, right, so why do I throw that out about Native America? Well, I read. And there was a book that was published on this back in the early 1900s. Was available on Google, and I read it because I'm familiar with the property. I've been going there to see my aunt and visit my aunt since my entire life, so I know something about the property. But wanted to know. But anyway, it flooded out, and she wasn't put in charge of archiving all of the photos that were surviving from there. So she's going through it, and they had this one section of photos from Cardinal Wojtyla's visit to Lodi. And she's going through there, and she says, oh, that's me. Oh, that's me with Carol Wojtyla, who became John Paul II. So it was a big surprise for her. And she treasures that photo. here. And there were other photos where people didn't realize that they were in the photos, right? Right, one there. Pretty cool situation there. But anyway, there's talk of going back to Italy. And from last I checked, Italy has the most number of cardinals, so there's like a bias towards having an Italian pope. And when they sit down in the Sistine Chapel and they start voting on things. They have an ecclesiastical ballot, is my understanding. The way that works is that all the cardinals get together and they vote, right? The ones who are eligible to vote meet eligibility requirements. And what they end up doing is they all put names into a hat, and it's like the sense of the College of Cardinals. So they all put the votes in a hat, who they vote for, and they like pick the top number, and then they do it again and again and again until they come up with who's going to be Pope. And you know, something I always forget is a black smoke that says that there's no Pope after this vote, or white if there is, I don't know, but they set things on fire, right? To destroy the evidence, more or less. So I don't know. I'm not Catholic. So as people remind me, I don't have a horse in this show, a horse in this race, but I tell you what, it's very interesting. I've been very intrigued by this whole selection process here. So it'll be fun to watch here. All right, Kevin Farrell. I don't know. Is he the comedian, Kevin Farrell? Or is that? No, that's Will Farrell. I wonder if they're related. That would be funny. Will Farrell giving a homily up there. I probably wouldn't be that holy. So. Vance issues an ultimatum to Russia and Ukraine on explicit proposal on peace deal. United States will walk away from talks of Russia and Ukraine reject an explicit proposal by U.S. officials to end the three-year war, said Vice President J.D. Vance on Wednesday, referring to ongoing negotiations between the involved parties. We've issued a very explicit proposal to both the Russians and the Ukrainians, and it's time for them to either say yes or for the United States to walk away from this process. Vance told reporters after visiting the Taj Mahal in India, answering a question about the negotiations. He's on a trip to India. So the second lady, her name escapes me right now, is from India. Her parents are from India, so they got to see some of her family worship and everything else like that. Pretty cool thing. I remember going back to Poland, to Wamża, right? Or Jednaczowo, right? Outside of Wamża, and, you know, to see the ancestral home. It was a pretty cool experience, especially, I probably should have taken a couple of souvenirs other than photos. There, because soon thereafter, the house was torn down and the place was torn down. It's my understanding. My brother John, who's passed away a number of years ago, carved his name in the house. It would have been nice to have that there. Chinese exporters, speaking of fuel, paying of tariffs as containers stack up with up to 245% U.S. tariffs. Chinese manufacturers are losing orders to foreign buyers. I tell you what, there are people, and you know, there's two very popular websites for like the one that's named after the river and the jungle. All right, that are popular with people, very popular. They can sell like discount. Real bargain, and you got to be very selective as to what you buy. And I ended up buying a lot of stuff, and people are out there buying, stocking up on their Chinese goods before the tariffs kick in. I think it's a pretty funny phenomenon, but I partake in that too, to be honest with you. So. I don't know. Well, it's going to be interesting. May you live in interesting times. Isn't that how the curse and blessing goes? Trump administration sued by a dozen states in U.S. trade court over tariffs. The lawsuit is the latest legal challenge against the tariffs. A dozen states on April 23rd, that's today, filed a lawsuit against the Trump administration and the U.S. Court of International Trade over its recently announced tariffs. The lawsuit argued that the tariff policies put in place by President Donald Trump earlier in April were subject to his whims rather than the sound exercise of lawful authority. Seems kind of shaky legal round to me there, and I'm not defending any of this stuff here. Boom. Again, you know, what are some of the things? We mentioned trade policy, right, as being one of them, but realize that, and they've pretty well publicized, it's the Chinese Communist Party. We, you know, in my neighborhood, they have a Chinese traditional Chinese group, Shen Yun, right? Perform traditional Chinese dance and music and things of that nature. And they're very active in my neighborhood. The Epoch Times, which I often read stories from here, is based out of my neighborhood. And full disclosure, I get a subscription to them, subscription, because it reminds me of the old-fashioned newspapers that don't exist anymore. Comes out weekly. But they've been harassed. This is part of the thing in this country. The CCCP, Chinese Communist Party, or CCP, Chinese Communist Party, comes over here and harasses them. Here. That's what the allegations are. And the other thing is trademarks, patents, theft, a lot of stuff going on there. They're very unfair. It's been going on for many, many years, but nobody wants to say anything about it. So we have, I tell you what, let's take another commercial break, and we're going to play some music for your listening enjoyment, and we're going to go from there. So we have some New Jersey news, and we're going to kick this off with Holes in the Ground by Safety Warrior.
Black top stretch, but there's no sound. Underneath, the earth falls down. Forgotten veins left long untamed. Now Route 8 is sunk in shame. Cars are stranded, chaos flies. The cracks reveal where danger lies. A hungry mouth swallows it whole. The road's a beast with no control. Holes in the ground, they're pulling us under. Built on mines where greed did plunder. Route 80's a ghost, it's breaking apart. Abandoned dreams tearing highways hard. Shadows of men who dug too deep left their scars where the earth does weep. Rushing wheels now pay the toll on a road with a fractured soul. No warning signs, just borrowed time. The hidden past now climbs the climb. A history that won't stay by the weight the earth was carried. Holes in the ground, they're pulling us under. Built on mines where greed did plunder. Route 80's a ghost, it's breaking apart. Abandoned dreams tearing highways hard. Borrow time.
hidden past now climbs the climb. A history that won't stay buried by the weight the earth was carried.
Mechanical birds above our heads, watching secrets and the streets we tread. Beeping lights and wings of chrome, guiding paths as we roam. In New Jersey skies they hover high, whispers carried by the night. Silent judges in the drone, leading us to the unknown. Eyes in the sky, they never sleep. Dreams and secrets they will keep. New Jersey nights feel so surreal when the drones reveal what they conceal.
And that was Safety Warrior with Eyes in the Sky from, you know, that's a little bit of a fun song for me, at least, especially when we've had all those drones all over the place that apparently were, authorized with that. So right now, hold on, National Fire News. So, this is a little bit outdated. Let me do a share screen here. Right. 31 new large fire, and this is from April 18th, were reported this past week in southern, eastern Rocky Mountain, and northern Rocky areas. Nationally, 13 large fires have burned 25,807 acres across the U.S. Since January 1st, 2025, 19,512 wildfires have burned 881,249 acres here. And what do we have here? They're giving this from another, again, government websites are wonderful. RT-130 Wildfire Land Fire Safety Training Annual Refresher out there. So, but anyway, this is one of the ones that websites and organizations that tries to coordinate things here. Again, you know, where are we on the preparedness level here? And we talked about this during the fires in Los Angeles. Now, New Jersey, right? So where are we? Where is our preparedness level? We are at current preparedness level 1. Geographic areas accomplish incident management objective utilizing local resources with little or no support. That was as of last week. We'll see how it goes this week. Because right now, New Jersey has a lot of forest fires in it. So in the southern part of the state here, right, and let's try to, expand, right? So right over here in Ocean County, right, here, right, all in red. So I don't know, you know, there are some other brush fires throughout the area. But this is all in red. Let's try to see how close can we get. In the Forked River area. So in New Jersey speak, this is in New Jersey speak, this is like exit 69, 65 on the Garden State Parkway here. And this is from NJ.com. A huge New Jersey wildfire continues to rage, and this was at 5:28 p.m. 12,500 acres. 18 structures are still under threat from the fire. State Forest Fire Service is investigating the origin of the fire. The lone shelter that remains open is expected to close tonight. The fire, called the Jones Road Wildfire, sparked in the Greenwood Wildlife Management Area Tuesday morning, quickly spread across thousands of acres, causing 3,000 evacuations. It threatened it also threatened farms to close down a 17-mile area. Now, let me point this out here. So South Jersey is a high fire frequency area here. Now, if you did not have fire, it's we have the Pine Barrens for a reason. The trees there reproduce with high temperatures on the pine cones, releasing their pollen, and I think they call it gymnosperm, across. And that is because, you need fire for pine trees, predominantly pitch pine trees in South Jersey, to reproduce. Now, without fire, you're not going to have it. So we already know this is a high fire frequency area here. Now, after World War II, they new technology, more firefighting and everything else came out and disrupted the cycle a little bit. That and, fire breaks and everything else. They do have controlled burns there, unlike other parts of New Jersey. So every 20 years or so, there's a controlled burn so the trees could reproduce. And so we could burn off some of the brush underneath. So I'm a little bit familiar with this area. Went to college down there. You have fire breaks. They're all set up for this. So I'm actually surprised it's that big of a fire there. And there's always a question. Was this like nefarious? So we're going to cut it off right there. I'm probably going to have another program on after this one. We're running about 47 minutes. And this was pre-recorded here. That's it. We're going to cut it off right here. And for Safety Wars, this is Jim Pozel. We will see you tomorrow.
The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are those of the host and its guest and do not necessarily reflect the official policy or position of the company. Examples of analysis discussed within this podcast are only examples. They should not be utilized in the real world as the only solution available, as they are based only on very limited and dated open source information. Assumptions made within this analysis are not reflective of the position of the company. No part of this podcast may be reproduced, stored in a retrieval system, or transmitted in any form or by any means, mechanical, electronic, recording, or otherwise, without prior written permission of the creator of the podcast, Jay Allen.